Welcome to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. In the August 14th edition of Physician's First Watch, we covered a controlled trial called the PREDIMED study from the journal Diabetes Care. It showed that patients at high genetic risk for type 2 diabetes and the attendant cardiovascular complications can lower those risks by adhering to a Mediterranean diet. Stroke risks seemed to be particularly reduced. We have the senior author of that study, Jose Ordovas. Dr. Ordovas directs the Nutrition and Genomics Lab at the Jean Mayer Center at Tufts University, and he's a professor at the Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy there. Welcome, Dr. Ordovas.
Thank you so much, Joe.
My summary left out one important character in your study. It's the polymorphism in the TCF7L2 gene. What does that gene do, and what role did it play in your study?
Well, the TCF7L2 gene stands for transcription factor 7 like 2, and this gene encodes a transcription factor that plays a key role in the WNT, WNT signaling pathways. Mm-hmm. For those that who may not be familiar with the WNT signaling pathways, are a group of signal transduction pathways made of proteins that pass signals from outside of a cell through cell surface receptor to the inside of the cell. The TCF7L2 protein has been implicated in blood glucose homeostasis. So what really made this gene jump to the limelight was the early discovery using this linkage analysis back already in 2006. That a marker within this gene was implicated in the risk for diabetes. Well, since then, there has been numerous genome-wide association studies and hundreds of other type of studies, more gene-centric type, that means focusing only on the TCF7L2, that have supported the solidity of the initial association. And that's not common. This is not common because for the common diseases, and diabetes one of them, obesity, cardiovascular disease in general, usually the problem that we have is replication. But that was not the case with the TCF7L2. It really behaved very, very solid in terms of the association with diabetes. However, whereas the association with diabetes is clear, has been clear and well demonstrated, the association of this gene with other disease endpoints, which is at the end of the day what we want in terms of prediction power, has been controversial, and there has been not too many. For example, with a stroke, that has been the major outcome of our study, but also for coronary heart disease, it's not clear that association between the gene and the disease.
Now, the variance in the gene, is it accurate to say that there was a single nucleotide polymorphism that you focused on?
Yeah, correct.
And the nucleotide,
as you know, the SNPs, or the single nucleotide polymorphism, is the most common gene variant that we are able to study. Mm-hmm. And this specific polymorphism or gene variant was located within the gene, but it was located in one of the introns, mm-hmm. in intron 3, and therefore does not affect the amino acid sequence of the encoded protein, because for that it will have to be located in the exons, which is what is then
produced.
It appears into the mRNA, and then it affects the protein. As you know, the specific name for this single nucleotide polymorphism is called RS703146. And what we have is a change of a C for a T. Mm-hmm. The most common allele is the C, and the minor allele is the T. Mm-hmm. And the T is the one that has been associated with an increased risk for the disease.
Okay.
However, in this case, in this particular case, what is curious is that when we look at the ancestral gene was probably the T and not the C, which is the most common that we have now, especially in whites. So what we think is that through evolution of the Homo sapiens, it may have been some kind of positive selection, and the frequencies have evolved, so the more common T allele has become the minor allele. And why is that? Well, it's, as I say, there has been environmental influences that have been decreasing the frequency of the T allele, and one of them, it may be just the influence of diet. So, although we don't really know what are the drivers, this is a strong suspicion based on other gene variants that we have found through our research.
Then is
and what is interesting from the point of view of prevention, from the point of view of public health, is that we are not talking about one of these very rare variants. We are talking about something that is quite common. In our specific study, the frequency of the cysts was 40%. The frequency of the heterozygotes, that means CTs, was 46%. But the frequency of the genotype associated with the higher risk for a stroke was 14%, 1-4. And when we are talking about the effect on the population, that's really a large one.
So that's so 14% of the population is homozygous for TT.
In summary, what we have here is, first, a gene with an important role in glucose metabolism. Second, we have a common polymorphism that has been consistently associated with diabetes. Third, we have the suggestion that diet may have had a role in the shift of these allele frequencies through human history.
I see.
What we don't have, or we didn't have, was a clear association of this genetic variant with disease, like, for example, cardiovascular disease or stroke. Moreover, we didn't have any prior knowledge about gene-diet interactions that could modulate the expression of the disease. That's the reason why we embark in this study, in order to shed some light about those unknowns.
So is the PREDIMED study then about the interactions of the genes and diet, or is it focused on the, are you trying to hone in on the benefits of the Mediterranean-style diet with this gene-diet interaction as a way to illuminate the value of the diet?
The PREDIMED study was designed to investigate just a very simple question. Is the Mediterranean diet really beneficial to prevent disease? We have known for many years, out of observational, classical epidemiological studies, that the Mediterranean diet was associated with lower risk of age-related diseases, among them stroke, cardiovascular disease, but also cancer, dementia, and so on. But this was just purely observational. We didn't have really a solid evidence based on something that is considered in the medical field as strong evidence, which is an intervention study. This is common practice when it comes to approval of a new drug or showing the efficacy of a new drug, and we should apply the same standards to something like diet. So that's another unknown.
Yeah, so
is intervention with Mediterranean diet going to save lives? It's going to decrease the incidence of the disease, and that's what the PREDIMED wanted to demonstrate.
Yes, well,
and that's what demonstrated when it was published a few months ago in the journal.
Yes, in the New England Journal, there was a study a few months ago, as you said, on its effect on cardiovascular events in general, and it found like roughly a 1/3. Lowering of risk among people who had been randomized to that diet, as opposed to a simple low-fat diet.
Yeah, the control diet was a low-fat diet.
Right.
But in any intervention study, it doesn't matter if it's dietary, pharmacological, behavioral, what we have is a rainbow of effects. Mm-hmm. So there are the normal responders that respond as you expect. You have the hyper-responders, and you have the hypo-responders, which don't respond as expected. And this is something that we have been studying for the last almost 30 years, trying to identify the genetic basis that drive this difference in response to any perturbation. So we had a wonderful intervention study that was quite large in size, over 7,000 people, and it was also long in terms of duration, because it was practically 5 years. So it was a a great opportunity to examine specific genetic variants to see if they were responsible for this variability in response to diet, not only in terms of the biomarkers, like glucose or cholesterol and so on, but also in what really counts, which is the incidence of events.
And that incidence that you measured or found specifically in the study was a lower risk for stroke.
Correct. And what we look at the stroke because that was the major outcome that came out from the initial study that we talk about.
From the earlier study.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And whereas it is true that we see the same trend for cardiovascular disease in general, mm-hmm. we see the stronger and highly significant in terms of a stroke. It doesn't mean that when we look at the PREDIMED in the follow-up study that it will include more events, we may reach the same or at least a statistical significance when it comes to all cardiovascular diseases in terms of these polymorphisms and the diet intervention. But so far, the only thing that we can say is that the real or the appreciated benefit was with a stroke, which is not bad because a stroke is something that is really a major problem, especially as we have more and more elderly people.
You conclude, and you're very careful in your conclusions, that you say that you've shown a beneficial effect in genetically susceptible people. What might, and I want to emphasize might, the implications be for the rest of us?
Something to keep in mind is that what we are presenting here with this specific study is just a proof of concept mm-hmm. about personalized nutrition, about how the knowledge of the genome can help us to tailor recommendations. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about nutrition, but it can be exactly the same in the area of pharmacogenomics. So we demonstrate the effect of one gene. Obviously, this is not the only gene. We have studied many others. We will be studying even more mm-hmm. that have similar interactions. But this is the first one in which we found such clear effect. So what this means is that some people may not be susceptible or predisposed to the disease because of this specific gene or mutation, but they may have other susceptibility genes that may be increasing the risk for stroke or cardiovascular disease, and they will have similar kind of gene-diet interactions. So the take-home message here is that we are all exposed. Many people are genetically predisposed to this kind of diseases of the aging process. And if we adopt a prudent diet, we have good chances of being able to eliminate all or at least most of the risk that comes from our genes. And so, I mean, obviously in the future, it may come the time in which it will be common practice to have the genome sequence. But until that time, you just have to look at around, look at your family. Is there presence of disease? Well, if there is presence of disease, and most of these diseases that we are talking about, if they have a strong genetic component, about 50%, then just be careful mm-hmm. and just follow the prudent diet. In this case, we have demonstrated that the Mediterranean diet is the best for this specific gene. It doesn't mean that for other people with other types of a genetic predisposition, it may be another variant. Maybe the low-fat diet that is another alternative.
This is very interesting, Dr. Ordovez. I want to thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was our 165th edition. All earlier conversations may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.